Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kirsty Ferrugia from Feels Like Home Professional Organisers.
And I'm Amy Ravel from Simply Organised. We can't wait to share with you all our tips and tricks to help you declutter and keep your home and family organised.
If you'd like to engage with the podcast further, you can find us at The Art of Decluttering on Facebook.
Let's get started.
You've joined us for episode 56 of The Art of Decluttering. Today we'll be talking about decluttering and organising before you move home.
And how you can move home being decluttered and organised.
Yay!
Because I love moving house.
You are crazy.
I haven't moved that many times.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I
which
can
is
see.
Possibly the case. How many houses have you lived in?
Oh, too many.
Too many, like lots.
Yes. I'm an army
of
brat.
Of course.
But I'm not a typical army brat. We did not move very often at all. At all, really. Typically, army, military people, military families move every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
We were really fortunate. We didn't move very much. But Simon and I have moved a few times in our short marriage.
I only lived in two houses growing up and didn't get to experience the joy of moving house because I was only 10 when we moved, so I wasn't part of it. But since being married, we've lived in quite a few different houses, different areas of Victoria, in the country, in the city. And I love it. I love the joy of touching every single thing that you own and making really intentional fresh starts and choosing what you're going to take into your new season with you.
I do love it. I do.
Just not as much as me.
Simon's just not a huge fan of it.
Well, fair
he
enough.
Finds it very stressful.
Yeah.
And it is very stressful for him.
Yeah. I think one of the only downfalls to buying our house that we're in now that we've been in for 6 years was I was actually sad that we wouldn't be moving house again soon. That's the only thing that was a downfall. Whereas for most people, that's like the best thing about buying a house.
Yeah. I must admit, like, I love moving things around and changing things. Like, growing up, we'd switch bedrooms quite often. There's five of us, so different dynamics were at play. We'd have to share with boys when they were going through challenging behavioral situations. So one of us would have to share with our brother, or like two of us would share with brothers. And then we had a fourth bedroom. And so that we took turns rotating between the girls who got that fourth bedroom to themselves. And so every term we'd move.
Every term.
Yeah. And so that
That's
was
so,
much, so
fun.
Much fun. Cause then every term you got to change the furniture and see how you wanted the room to look. And then when you move back in with a sibling, you'd also get a chance to move the furniture around. So, and that's what I find sad about living in my home is that we don't change the furniture around very often.
Yeah. So we still change our furniture around fairly often. As soon as I have basically if a client ever cancels and they've got a sick child or something's happened and I have a day at home, that's my rearrange day. Awesome. So let's talk to our friends about what they can do to prepare to move really well. We actually had three different people request this one topic, would you believe? So to Holly Fulforth, Michelle Henry and Sar Mara, hopefully this will help you out. And I'm sure many of you, if you've got friends who are moving house, make sure you tag them because we're going to give you lots of goodness. Let's start with how we can help you prepare to move.
I love decluttering before you move. I think it saves so much time. It doesn't feel like it at the time because you're just so eager or not eager, but you're just thinking about your new home and you're like, yeah, yeah, I'll declutter later. I'll declutter
Everyone
when we unpack.
That.
Don't do that.
They never do.
No. Have you ever been into clients' homes where they've had boxes that they haven't unpacked from their previous move?
I would suggest that probably 70 to 80% of homes in Australia have at least one box that was moved there from an old house and never unpacked.
Yes, I would agree. I have
Do you
no
have any?
Idea. No, we don't. We unpack in a day.
Yes, we unpacked before we went to bed the first night.
Yeah.
It was the best feeling, like every single thing unpacked.
Yes, we've done that several times, even with little kids.
Yes. I love it.
So do I. I love knowing where everything is and have been completely unpacked.
So anyway, one of our tips is that before you start packing for your move is make sure you unpack from your previous moves. And it may seem obvious or it may seem counterintuitive even. Mm. You might think, but I'm going to have to pack it again. But you want to declutter, and that's a really big part of preparing to move. So this is not part of the packing. This is pre-packing. Is making sure you unpack from previous moves.
Yeah, or don't unpack it, I would suggest. Just look in the box and go, no, haven't used it, it can go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't unpack it.
Just dump it.
Dump it. But look in it, like, make sure. Definitely open it. I would definitely open it to make sure that what you've written on the outside of the box is actually in there. And then look to see if you've ever touched it, if there's any sentimental items in there that you would regret throwing out. But if you look in there and it's all kitchenware that you haven't used in 5 years,
op shop,
let it go.
One of my massive tips for people is I suggest you spend a couple of hours before you start packing actually going around and tidying your house. So that means putting things back where they belong, or at least putting like with like, because the process of packing and decluttering is going to be made so much easier if you don't feel like you've got just random stuff in boxes. Because unpacking random stuff, it may have saved you time in the packing process, but it's going to be a headache when it comes to unpacking. So if you've got things tidy, then you can actually prepare well to pack.
And it also makes it really easy to make decisions about decluttering, because then you can go, actually, I have got five of that random item that I really only need one or two of, so I'll let go of it. Instead of packing it randomly over five different boxes and going, oh no, I think this is my only one.
Great.
I think this is my only one, and deceiving yourself.
Well, you get a realistic view once you've actually tied it and put everything like with like, then you get a realistic idea of what you've got, and you might be moving in with a partner. And so not only are you packing your stuff, he or she is packing their stuff too. And so you're going to end up with two kettles, two toasters, four knife blocks. And so by having them together and then at least seeing what you've got, you can make wise choices.
Yes. And we definitely think that you should declutter before packing and be really honest with yourself and realistic with yourself. Even if you're going from a small one-bedroom apartment and you're buying a four-bedroom house, that does not mean that you need to keep two kettles.
Like, you don't necessarily need all the stuff.
Yes. I'm not saying what you do and don't need. I'm just encouraging you to be thoughtful and intentional about what it is that you're actually packing. And just because you're moving into a bigger home does not necessarily mean that now you have space, you can keep everything.
So I've helped people move house where they have not packed anything until the day of the move, not a single thing, which was extremely stressful. And then I've helped people move that have started packing like 6 to 8 weeks before they move. Have you kind of got a, what's your recommendation? Do you start early? Do you leave it to the last minute? What works for people?
I think every family is unique and different, so it depends on your circumstances. At the moment, I'm helping a beautiful client. Well, I have had, by the time this episode airs, they'll be in the middle of their sale process. So we have decluttered their home and boxed up a lot of their home because they're getting a stylist in to style their house. So they're actually having to get rid of, or like store their couch, their dining table, their beds. No, I think they're keeping their beds, but a lot of things have to be removed from the house. And they have a lot of stuff and they've got a small apartment. So we have had to box up so much just so that the property stylist can come in and show off their home and highlight the best of their home. So that's one unique situation where we've actually done a lot of decluttering and a lot of packing. And because of the time frame, we have actually done what you suggested before that we shouldn't do, is just pack random things in boxes because we weren't in a space to tidy completely before we started packing.
I've got clients who will get me in to help them with the declutter and then the tidy and then hire packers because packers are very efficient at what they do. And so I think no matter what you do, you don't want to skip the steps of the tidy and the declutter if possible. Obviously there's situations where I've helped people move out of domestic violence situations, so there's no time for anything. You just pack and you get out. But if you have the time, even if you've got packers coming in, I recommend you do the declutter and the tidy. Most families in Australia would have at least 4 weeks notice if they're doing a house move. You have to give 4 weeks notice and usually get a settlement 4 weeks or more. So I kind of say at 4 weeks, you want to start packing things like your Christmas tree, maybe your camping gear, things that you're absolutely not going to need in the next 4 weeks. And then the following week, you want to be packing excess of things. And then the second to last week, maybe you want to be packing things that clothes that you're not going to be wearing. And the last week is like the absolute bare essentials left. So really think about like those centric circles moving closer and closer to the middle as the time gets closer to your move, like what is logical for you to pack. If you've only got 8 pieces of crockery, like an 8 serving, you don't need to pack half of that now and half of that later. No. Like be sensible, but really think, what can I get done
the night before the move?
Yeah, leaving it to the last minute's really, 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 really challenging.
And challenging too when you've got children, like, that you might have to care for and might be anxious about moving and might need a lot of your attention the night before you move. So, I often think about going on holiday. Like, what would you pack to go on holiday? And can you be doing takeaway the night before you move and the night that you move in, or have somebody cook a meal for you so that you're not actually having to cook on your first night in your new house or cook on your last night in your old house? Like, have some strategies in place for dealing with the unexpected and the stress that comes with moving home and the stress on your family and your partner on moving home.
Love that. And that kind of flows into move day. Like, how do we help people make that move day, which everybody dreads? And when you're in your 20s, it's kind of that day where everyone comes around and they get free beer and free pizzas to help you move. And then as you get older, you pay man with a van. And then as you are more established, you actually get proper removalists that have insurance. So how can move day be made just that bit easier for our listeners?
I think that you definitely station one person at your new home if there's multiple people involved in the move. If you've got family support, you know, if you're single and you've got friends, have somebody at your new house that can help the removalist or help your friends direct things into the right house, right home.
Hopefully the right house. That would be totally awkward.
Yes. Into the right house and into the right home in your house.
Yes. That's always been my job. So I never stay at the old house while it's being packed. Like, as in on the day, I'm at the new house and as each box comes, I, you know, direct it to the room, but then I'm also unpacking as I go.
Yeah, that's because, Simon's job.
Yeah, of course it would be.
Well, no, Simon does every job, actually, to be honest. When we moved into our new home we built 3 years ago, we moved in a few days after we'd got the keys because we had to spend Simon spent a few days cleaning the house before we moved in because it was, if anybody's built a new home, you know just how disgustingly dirty it actually is. It might look nice and presentable, but then you find grout, grime everywhere and dust and things that, anyway, he spent very long days at our house, like I think 14-hour days at our house cleaning the few days before we moved in, whereas I was just like, let's just move in.
Yeah, eager beaver, I would be that.
Yeah, he was like, no, we are not. Fantastic. We are cleaning before, and we had little kids and his a machine, so he went and cleaned, and then we moved in, and he, I stay at the old house while he moved and cleaned up the last few cupboards that needed to be cleaned, and made sure did the vacuuming and did all the cleaning of the old house, and then Simon went back and gave it another once over, I'm sure.
Gave it a Simon clean.
Yeah.
I am a massive fan of getting somebody else to do the exit clean because I'm so excited by the new house that I don't even want to go back. Like, I am so loving it. So if you can't afford cleaners, like, think, is there a mum that you know or a dad that you know that would like to earn some extra money, or a teenager that you could actually get to go and do that exit clean for you so you can be spending time unpacking, finding homes for things? I think that's a really nice little gift to give yourself.
Yes. It'd be lovely if everybody could.
I know. But otherwise, use shortcuts. So use cleaning wipes and just do things quickly if you can. More from us in just a few minutes. Don't forget to visit our website, theartofdecluttering.com.au, and sign up for our bonus episode that is not so secret anymore.
We've done episodes on linen cupboards, sentimental items, media, baby supplies, donations, weddings, and so many more.
So if you're new to The Art of Decluttering, you'll find loads of great tips like this one from the episode we did on crafts and hobbies. What I'm saying is the kind of supplies we used to make jewellery back then is completely different to the type of jewellery people wear now.
Yes.
And so you can still have the same hobby, but the products that you use could completely evolve over time.
Yes. And so that's why it's really good to ask, is this still me? And equally so, is this still a passion of mine? Like, am I still passionate about this hobby? Our podcast today is sponsored by iTrack Real Estate. For anyone moving house, one of the first big decisions is whether you buy first and sell second or vice versa. Financially, there are many things to consider, like is it a rising or a declining market?
A friend of mine, David, at iTrack Real Estate has a great blog to help you make your decision. Check it out at itrackrealestate.com.au. That's I-T-R-A-K realestate.com.au.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And now back to the podcast for so many more tips and tricks.
One of the things that I always tell people to think in advance is, what are you actually going to need the day of your move or the night of your move? Do you have medications that you're going to need to access that it's of no use if they're packed in the bottom of a box? But if you need to access them, you need to know where they are and make sure that the family can get them. What about pet food? You know, when your pup comes to a new house, they're going to be exploring. And what if you can't find the pet food? I helped a client move and they had to go knock on a neighbor's door and ask for pet food because they couldn't find where they'd packed it. Mm. Think about your bedding. Like, are you going to have your beds made up? Can somebody be doing that? Can that be somebody's pure job on your day of move? Their job is to assemble the beds and make the beds. So at the end of the night, when you're absolutely bone tired, you've got somewhere to collapse and sleep.
My number one tip for moving is when you undo beds, get a bag, a Ziploc bag, and tape those bed screws to a part of the bed.
Yes.
So that you always know where those bed screws
and
are.
And right on the bag too, in case it comes off.
Yes. But tape it. Do whatever you can to make sure those screws stay with the bed that it belongs to. Because there is nothing worse than not being able to make that bed for days, weeks. And if you take a long time to undo boxes, months.
Today's top tip is brought to you by Kirsty from Feels Like Home Professional Organizers.
Today's top tip is brought to you from experience.
That's the best feature of all.
So you love unpacking within a day.
I'm a 24-hour unpacker.
Yes.
Most people are not, though. Let's be honest. Most people don't have the luxury of living in a minimalist home and being able to do that. And a lot of people go back to work the following day or sometimes the day of. So it can take a really long time.
It certainly can. But our suggestion would be to try and unpack as much as you possibly can. I've got really good friends who have not, they've been in their home for a year and they have not unpacked a book, their books, because they had to put new floors down. They had to do a bit of renovation in their new home, and they were actually building a library.
Oh, beautiful.
So that their library is where all the books are going, but the books are neatly stacked and there's not like boxes everywhere. It's just, there's
practical.
A reason why. So if there's a good reason why you're not unpacking that box, that's totally fine. But if it's because of procrastination, maybe not so much. Maybe you should get into that box and unpack it.
And if you don't have a week to unpack, do a couple of boxes a night, or one box before dinner, one box after dinner, or get the family involved. My recommendation is to fully unpack a box. Don't get halfway through a box and think, I'll finish it later, because later won't come for a very long time. And once you've fully unpacked a box, collapse the box and have somewhere that those empty boxes go so that you can donate them or recycle them after you've fully unpacked everything.
If you know friends who are moving soon after you, put a shout out on Facebook, say, do you need the packing paper? Do you need the boxes?
Like, they'll be forever grateful.
Yes, packing paper. Awesome.
Because packing boxes can be expensive.
Yes.
Like $4 or $5 per box.
Yes.
What about for our listeners that are doing a long distance move? Because lots and lots of people now, with our world being so interconnected, can easily move cities, countries, continents, can do far moves. And the way that you do that is very different to how you move, like I did, 10 doors away.
10 doors?
10
did
doors.
Did you carry things up?
We sure did. No truck needed. We had, you know, those hand trolleys?
Yes.
Yeah. We were the crazy people that just, and we did rolling suitcases. So we would like fill a rolling suitcase with clothes, wheel it 10 doors down. And my sister was moving into our old house. So we were like rolling stuff down, put it straight in the wardrobe, roll the suitcase back up, fill it with clothes again, and come back down.
Wow, that must have been a very exhausting day for you.
It was awesome because everything just got unpacked at the other end. The funniest bit, I know we'll get to long distance moves in a second. Like, we live on a main street, so everybody could see us moving. People were beeping us because we were doing, like, washing machine, fridge, books, kids' toys, cubby house, everything. When we carried the trampoline down the street, it took 6 guys. So we just lifted it up over the fence, carried it down the street, put it back over our new fence and into the backyard. But because it was so big, they took up a lane. So it just looked hysterical. There's these guys carrying a full size trampoline down the street and putting it over someone's fence.
So if you were driving along Main Street Lower Plenty 6 years ago and saw that happening, let us know. We'd love to know if you or your partner came home that night and went, you should have seen the crazy thing I saw
we
today.
We created memories. It was fun. It was 42 degrees, so it was not fun, but we created some amazing memories that day. All right, long distance moves, Kirst. What do we do?
Oh, they're really challenging. Very challenging. They can be very challenging because you've got even more added stress to a long distance move. You've got to think about the house that you're moving to and where you're going to send the kids to school, or where, you know, new job, new everything. So it can be stress on top of stress.
Yeah. I strongly recommend when you're doing a long distance move is you kind of pack in two lots. You've got the pack that I don't need now and somebody else can move it. And then you've got the pack stuff that you need to take with you. Mm-hmm. So whether, say you're moving overseas, you're going to have some suitcases that you take with you because who knows how long it will take for all the rest of your stuff to arrive. So you kind of need an essentials and a non-essentials, which is different to how you pack if you're moving 10 doors. Yes. Because everything comes, everything arrives that same day. It's this really smooth transition. But when you're moving long haul, you need to really think in terms of essentials.
I think it also depends on how far you're moving. We moved from Melbourne to Sydney, and so we didn't. So that was a long distance move.
Yep. How did that go?
But we moved over 2 days.
Did you drive up with your truck?
So we didn't, but we left at the same. Well, no. So the truck left. We went and stayed at parents' houses for the night, and then Ollie and I flew up, and Simon
to meet the truck.
No. We just flew up.
Don't like long driving, Kirst.
Ollie was 9 months old.
Yeah, fair call.
He's never liked the car.
Yeah,
ever.
Yep, I'm with you.
Yep. So have some
lots of
love
grace
and grace for me right now, Amy. So Ollie and I flew up, and Simon drove up the next day. So Simon left really early. So he would have been the same as the trucks, like going. Because I think the truck's packed, but then we're leaving the next day. And he followed with the trucks and then came and picked us up from our friend's house because we flew into Sydney, mm-hmm. caught the train down to our friend's house, stayed at our friend's that night. And then the next night we stayed in a hotel after Simon had picked us up. And then I think we were only in the hotel for one night. And so then the removalist had unpacked.
So logistically, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like you have to think, well, who gets where what? Where's the car going to be? Where's the truck going to be? It's not as simple as pack the truck, everybody drives to the new house and unpacks.
No, and I think we moved a car up too. I think we did how did we get our other car up?
Somehow.
Have obviously locked that away into, drop that little memory into the... don't remember.
So if you've moved internationally, we would love to hear if you've got some tips that have really saved you. I've got a client at the moment that's moving to Vietnam, so we're packing for that trip. And what I find is a lot of companies will pay for the relocation, which also means, particularly if you're Army or Federal, they'll often come in and do the packing for you.
Yes,
so you don't often get to be part of that. So I would love to hear some ideas that you can share with people if you've been part of that.
Yes, I've moved internationally too.
Oh, you did too. Tell us about that.
Several times.
Talk to us, Kirst.
Several times. Well, the last one that I remember, I was an adult. So I just shipped.
Yes, because when you move from Papua New Guinea, you probably don't remember a lot of that, do you?
No, I don't. But Mum would, and I think we had like long delays between furniture coming. And I remember when we moved to Papua New Guinea, I was 9, so I do remember that. And we stayed in a hotel for a couple of days, weeks.
Yeah, right.
Apartment for a couple of weeks before all our furniture came and we moved into our real house. And I know friends of mine have just moved to Singapore and they've done the same. They were staying in an apartment for several weeks until their shipping came.
Yep.
And then when I moved back from London,
How long did you live in London for?
2 years. Not quite, but yeah, close to 2 years. So I just sent some boxes home.
With essentials or non-essentials?
Oh, non-essentials.
Okay.
So I was young. I was 20.
You didn't have a lot?
No, didn't send a lot home. I think I sent like one or two boxes home mm-hmm. by ship. And then I went traveling for a month. So I just had my backpack.
Great idea.
So then I just went traveling for a month and just had what I needed, what you would for normal travel. I think it is it is that delay. Like you're living in holiday mode.
Correct.
For a few weeks or a few days or a few weeks, sometimes up to a couple of months, you're living in holiday mode. And then you're getting your furniture.
I really
stuff.
Like that concept of holiday mode. And I think that would help people because that's how you're going to need to pack. Holiday mode versus life mode.
Yes, which can be challenging when you've got little kids, when you're moving internationally with little kids, because there's holiday mode and then there's holiday mode. There's yeah. holiday mode where you're away for a couple of days and you don't need so many toys.
And you're there intentionally and loving it.
Yeah. And then there's holiday mode where you're moving for and you're staying somewhere for 2 months before you get all your toys. So how much toys do they need for 2 months, and how much luggage can you, and what do you take in that luggage?
Yeah, great.
And what toys do you take, and what comfort items do you take, and what do you even need to take?
Yeah, should you just buy stuff new when you get there? Yeah. And sell everything here?
Yeah, and in fact, I've got clients at the moment who are moving. They're a military family and they're moving back home. They're moving to where they own a home and where all their family is. And they're also tossing up what couches to bring back and what actual furniture do they need, because they're moving to their forever kind of home. So it
big
is,
decisions.
Yeah, lots of decisions.
Awesome. Well, we've really just scraped the surface yes. of moving house. There is so much more that we could talk about. But for the sake of time, if you've got really specific questions, you can always let us know and we will answer them for you.
Yeah. So just recapping our tips.
Go for it.
Declutter before you pack. Try and clean up before you pack. Do tidy up. And then really be intentional about what you're actually packing, because it will save you on removalist fees and it will save you so much time. It, as we said at the start, might seem counterintuitive that you're saving time at the beginning, but you will. Your future self will really thank you for not having so many boxes to unpack at the other end. On move day, think about how you can structure people, how you can have people in two different places at once, how you can get people to help you, prepare food for you, buy you food, and help you clean your old house and clean your new house. And then when you're unpacking, find homes for things before you unpack, and be thoughtful about where it is that where your new items are going to live, and then unpack and fully unpack boxes. And then when you're moving long distance, think about packing in two lots. Think about packing what you really don't need for the next couple of months, and then what you need in the short term.
Wow, that is an awesome wrap up. And just to finish up, I'm going to read out an iTunes review that was left by Taymac. So it's titled Amazing. Taymac says, "You do not need to have clutter for this podcast to be useful for you. I found the advice and ideas from this podcast incredibly helpful for when I moved out of home for the first time last year. Thanks to Amy and Kirsty, I have been able to create and maintain clutter-free and well-organized spaces all throughout my home. I love listening to these ladies and always look forward to the next episode each week."
Thanks. Hey, Mac, what a beautiful review.
Oh, and so perfect that fits in with moving house, and you moved out for the first time and the podcast was helpful for you. So I hope this one is even more helpful for all you first-time mover-outers.
Yay! Have a beautiful week, peeps.
We'll see you next week. Bye. Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, do a friend a favour and share this episode so they too can learn the art of decluttering. You can find me, Amy, over at simplyorganized.net or on Facebook as Simply Organized PO.
You can find me, Kirsty, over at feelslikehome.net.au or on Facebook as Feels Like Home PO. Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, theartofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there. If you love what you hear, we'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes.
We hope you've enjoyed listening and that you've learnt some tips to help you declutter and keep your home organised.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day and enjoy the freedom.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.